Ohne Antenne kein Empfang. Damit fängt es an.
In jeder Gruppe passiert das. Überall der Schmutz und alles so dieses tägliche Leben, das schiebt man am liebsten auf den anderen. Und das bringt so viel Diskussionen oft rein in das Studio, dass darüber oft die Musik vergessen wird. Wenn du aber mit dem Radio zusammen bist, gibt es diese Diskussion nie und du hast dich völlig auf die Musik zu konzentrieren. Und die Satelliten, die rauschen ja auch. Es ist toll, diese Spannung irgendwie zu erleben, diese Stille, die eine Spannung hat. Die ist nicht einfach nur Rauschen. Da spürst du, dass die Leute ja den Atem anhalten. Und das überträgt sich, selbst über das schlechteste Tonsystem, was man sich denken kann, selbst über Telefon. Verliebte Leute, die nichts miteinander reden und die hören nur den anderen auf der anderen Seite, wo nichts ist. Das ist eine spannende Stille. Und für sowas habe ich was im Übrigen.
Radio Woltersdorf and Pi Radio equals Super Radio 2026. Live from the Super Booth 2026 from a mobile studio.
Also hereinspaziert und mitgemacht. Ihr habt doch die Pionierbluse an oder wenigstens euer Halstuch umgebunden. Natürlich beginnen wir mit einem Lied.
End of file.
Okay. Ja. Live von der Super Booth 26. Wir haben ja auch schon viel über außergewöhnliche Instrumente gesprochen. Und jetzt haben wir Tina Belmont hier. Hello, Tina.
Hello.
I'm doing the interview in English now. I just wanted to introduce you. And you are producing this wonderful, stylish, handy mini synths. You produce them in wood, in plastic, in wonderful colors, orange, black, yellow. How did you came up with the idea of producing your own synthesizers?
So I was doing swag, basically, for a convention in the U.S. Called MagWest, which is the Music and Games Festival West Coast version. There's one on the East Coast called MagFest, and it's a really wild show. And so I was volunteering and doing swag for them. The first year I did blinking tiaras and earrings. The second year I did this heart pendant that was a couple's pendant that was happy when it's together and sad when it's apart. And yeah. The next year I said, I would like to do a synthesizer. I can do a synthesizer. I can get it in at your price. And they're like, great. And so we were trying to do wearables for the convention. So I was like, I'll make it like one of those belt buckles like they have for the rodeos, those trucker belt buckles.
Wow.
And so I think those are really big, right? So I can make a whole synthesizer. I was a bit inspired by a stylophone, but I knew that you could get really cheap microcontrollers. And so I thought, okay, yeah, I can make something and just make it all in software and just have it be, do like the stylophone, we'll use a stylus to go and control it so you don't have to have a lot of buttons to make it really, keep it cheap. And so this would be great. So I was working on it. And now they have this joke they do every year for the thing is they say, MagWest is canceled. Yeah. And so I thought, it's canceled. Well, I guess I don't have to do it. And so, and nobody told me, no, that's a joke. So the time is ticking down. And eventually I find out, it's not canceled. Well, I better get to work on this. Better get this done. So they started cutting the order quantity down. It was really supposed to be 200 units. And then it was going to be 100 units. Then it was going to be 50 units. Then it was down 20 units. They only want 20 units of this thing. So I'm thinking, I'm going to make this so nice that you're going to greatly regret having only ordered 20 units. So I said, I've really wanted to play with the CNC machine. I know where I can access one. I'm going to make them all out of wood. And so I made their 20 units. I actually made about 35 units. I made them all out of wood. And I had the factory in China. I have sent off to China, have them manufactured. I had them make 100 boards. Okay. So I get there, I hand them their 20 units. I get my very, very small sum of money for that. They were very cheap for them. And so my handler, the one who was actually getting paid, because I, of course, was a volunteer, he said, gee, we sold out of those instantly. We priced them very low. So I would like to get one. Do you have any more? And I'm like, I think I can get one together for you. Fine. So we go back up to the hotel room and I get the thing together for him. And I'm like, okay, that's $250. And he said, but we only paid you 30 for them. For me, I was like, yes, that was when it was your product. Now it's my product and they're $250. And he says, well, I'm not going to pay that. And so my friend walks into the room and pays me $350 for it. And and that covered the cost of the manufacturing.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the story of how that came about. But I always wanted to do a synthesizer. And I'd actually done a previous product called Rhythm Core Alpha, which is on a Nintendo DSi and 3DS game consoles.
Yeah.
I was a legitimate developer. I was a game developer for 20 years. I had a license from Nintendo, and I made a music program instead of a game. And so that program used a stylus, because the Nintendo DS has a bottom screen. You can use a stylus, and you could go and draw in drum beats and bass lines. And it would do some neat stuff, like you change a chord in the middle and let you sequence. It was really elaborate. You could play solos on the screen and everything. It was really, really elaborate. It didn't really catch on. I spent about 15-year vow of poverty with that product. And so I kind of wanted to make a hardware synthesizer. And with MagWest, I had an opportunity to do that. I said, oh, good, somebody else will help foot the bill for this, and I'll have a deadline so I'll actually finish.
Yeah.
And so so that's how that came about.
But they remind a lot to the stylophone.
Yeah, so the stylophone is great in that it's the cheapest possible thing you can make for a control surface, right?
Yeah.
By having a thing where you're just taking a ground lead and touching it to a bare circuit board. And so when I was trying to make something for this convention, which needed everything to be very, very, very inexpensive, that seemed like the perfect interface. And so, and since I'd already done a stylus-based product for Rhythm Core Alpha on a DS, I sort of had styluses on the brain. And so I was like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I can do this. It'll be cheap. It'll be great. And so now I'm actually charging a premium for these because they're handmade. But at the time, it was all about price.
And there are many differences between your synth and the stylophone.
Yeah. So mine is actually a virtual analog synth. I'm a good programmer. I know how synthesizers work. So I gave it two oscillators, a noise generator, an envelope generator, an LFO, which you can set different waveforms for, and a filter. And you can actually set the LFO and the envelope generator to do any of the other parameters. So you can not only do the volume, but you can do the pitch, you can do the filter, you can do the noise, etc., with the different parameters. And so it basically... you use the keyboard itself to dial in your sounds, right? The keyboard is sort of like your knob, and it has an LED ring on it, which sort of goes around in the circle when you're not doing anything. But otherwise, it actually shows you
so
kind of where you're at.
Got the
it's like turning
orientation
the knob.
About the LED ring and in which space you are working on your notes, which waveform, for example, you choose.
Yeah, so, it is basically a virtual analog synth. So you only have the four basic waveforms, right? You've got your sawtooth waves, your square waves, your triangle waves, and your sine waves. And so I can go here and press the, I'll select the sound here, which is sort of basic. Not that one, come on, there we go. All right, so it's a very simple sound. Now I'll select the first oscillator here. So I'll select the patch edit mode. It flashes half the LED ring to say, okay, there's two parameters, meaning at the first half. So the first parameter is the waveform and octave of oscillator zero. So I can select that, and then when I dial in on the keyboard, I'll just keep on pressing these buttons here until we pick the value that we want. It'll keep on in this mode until we lock it in or abort. So we'll do all square waves. Or actually, those are the sawtooth waves. These are the square waves.
Yeah.
Then we have the triangle waves. And then we have the sine waves. All right, so I can go down here, select this square wave to match the other one on the other oscillator. We can lock that in by pressing the same button again, and then... all right, we can do the detune here.
And can I change the envelope curve?
Yes, you can. So that would be the one here, which is the, I believe, C, D, E, F sharp. And that's the attack. Make the attack longer, and then the G would be the decay. So let's just set the sustain down, which would be the G sharp.
Yeah.
So set that to nothing, and then we'll set the decay to so it gets up there and it stops. So if you set the sustain higher, are we hearing that? Actually, it's not doing it. Hold on. Okay, and then there we go. All right. Okay, so now we've got it, so it's, it goes to the sustain point, and it's got some release. So we can turn the release off. We can go here. So. Nope, that didn't work. Hold on. Okay, release. Zero. There we go. So.
And the feedback about the control, how much level you give, is shown by the LEDs.
Right, right. So the LED ring basically is sort of like having a knob. And so when you're actually adjusting anything on the thing, the spot lights up, you know, with the color, sort of like as if you're turning the knob around in space. So, you know, at zero, it's at, you know, sort of at the bottom, and then when you turn all the way up to the top, then it's like you're all the way, you know, almost bound to the bottom again. So it goes, you know, clockwise, like you're turning a knob.
Yeah. Super, super idea. And you don't produce them just in wood, you also produce them in plastic?
Yeah, so the wood ones are really, really a lot of effort to do. Yeah, you know, you have to do a lot of, I use a CNC machine to make the general form of it, but then I have to do a lot of sanding to get the machine lines off of it and to get it to actually be smooth and nice. Then you have to do three types of sanding, and then you have to put varnish and sand again and varnish. And so that's a lot of work. That's multiple days of work. It's 2 days each to make these, which is why they cost a lot more. So I started doing 3D printed ones in plastic. And the nice thing with that is I can go and like change the plastic in the middle of the print, and I can do different tones, and we have some different finishes for the front of the unit. And so I'm trying to sort of explore all the different ways I can produce this and make really interesting ones. I sort of see this as a bit of a, you know, it's called stylish, not just because you wear it, but also because it's sort of like a fashion item. It's a collectible. And so I want to make it like the Swatch watch or those fancy basketball shoes you can buy, where you've got different designs. People might own more than one because they want to have the different designs of the synthesizer. We all know what gear acquisition syndrome is. We know the synthesizer people often buy gear they don't really play that much, but they want to have it for their collection. Well, this is designed to tweak that nerve in synthesizer people. It's like, don't you want another one? Look, I've got a new design. Don't you want the one in lemon? Don't you want the one with the two-tone? I've got one which is three-tone, you know, and just doing different finishes. And I'm working on different designs. I've got a new utility which lets me put bumps on the front of them and give different patterns on the front. And so I'm trying to, you know, come up with a lot of different forms for it.
And how can one reach you? So do you have a website where you sell your stuff?
Yeah. So the Stylish Belt Synth, you know, is kind of available in limited quantities right now. I only just recently set up something for people to sort of inquire about buying them. I'm mostly doing the sales in person. But on my website, softegg.com, there should be a link to the GitHub repository. This is actually an open source project. If you search for Soft Egg on GitHub, you can find all my projects, including the Stylish Belt Synth. And on definitely on the GitHub page, there's a link to this form you can fill out, which is like, hey, I would like to buy this. Like, you know, how many would I like to buy? And then when I get your email, I can write you back and say, okay, I've got some now. You know, like, let's arrange payment. So it's not like there's an online store yet or anything like that.
Thank you for coming here, Tina. It's been a great pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much. Don't you want to hear about Rhythm Core Alpha?
I want to hear about Rhythm Core Alpha. And I have one other question.
Okay, sorry.
If we have the time.
Sure.
Tina, why is this, there is no, this, we are going over the air, so your description of your instrument is was rather well. It attaches on your belt with some buckles.
Thing. So this one's a little bit broken right now, and it's got a battle cap stuck to the magnet in the back. But there's two belt clips here, and basically it goes over your belt, but I made it so you could actually pull it off your belt to play it, because you're not going to go and, you know, be diddling around on your
belt. I'd worry about that. And then it's kind of looks like an eye with a very big smile.
Yeah, it looks like a big grinning cyclops. And there was sort of something which evolved from kind of the roundness of it. But when I was actually doing the manufacturing in China, I did this by getting sort of a captive company in China that had like a person in Hong Kong who could actually talk to me on Facebook. So they sent me a picture with all the parts in it. And they said, you know, okay, here's all your parts. I'm like, wait, that's not the speaker that looks like an eyeball. I really need the speaker that looks like an eyeball. And they're like, oh, we can't have it. It's blah, 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 blah. I'm like, how much? They're like, 50 cents a unit? I'm like, get this speaker, it looks like a fucking eyeball. And so we got it. And so the cyclopsness of it was preserved. I might have trouble getting that speaker again in the future. These ones which have the big magnet on the back, I think they've all gone to these much smaller sections now. So that may be a struggle when I have to do another round of them. I've got enough parts for about 100 units, and I think I've done about 50 of them now. So
nice.
Nice. And the other thing that audience can't tell over the air is none of the, you was demonstrating functionality, but none of it was There's no writing on the unit as a design choice for aesthetics, of obviously.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
As an instrument maker, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah, well, because it's a wearable, I want people to very much, not have it be distracted with text and stuff like that. You know, keep its Cyclops nature intact. But there's a manual, and the manual has like a little cheat sheet, which basically has a picture of the keyboard with all the things overlaid on it that you can do. I've got that in the bag here if anybody wants to see it. So the manual explains all. And once you kind of know where things are, it's really easy to do. But again, its primary function is to look cool, and its secondary function is to be a good synthesizer. So first, got to make sure you look cool, like we all do.
Like we all do.
But it sounds cool as well. And thank I you. Like the aspect of, you know, it has this kind of game sound kind of thing that was designed for a games convention to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't really designed to sound like a game thing, but it is very lo-fi. Right now, this is using the Blue Pill microcontroller, which is one of the cheapest microcontrollers you can get on AliExpress. It's about €2. And that, if you want to know what that actually is, it's the STM32F103C8T6, which has 20K of RAM, 128K of flash memory, and it runs at 72 megahertz. It's an ARM Cortex M3. And we're using a library called Mozy. It's programmed with the Arduino environment, so you can actually program it yourself. It's all open source hardware. And I will, in fact, be exhibiting this at the Open Source Hardware Expo. I think I will actually be selling them there if I have any left. I'm running a little bit low right now. So that should be at the end of the month. I think it's the 23rd and 24th of this month.
Sorry to interrupt you. Do you have any possibility as user to get in and work on the programming?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As I said, all of the source code is available on GitHub. I have these nice little cards here which have the link for GitHub on them. And you can download the source code. You can build the whole thing yourself if you want. I'm hoping people will want to buy them from me. And I make it available with the Creative Commons non-commercial license, which is basically like, you can build them all you want for yourself, but please don't sell them. That's the thing I reserve for myself. But the whole source code is there. All of the PCB files are there. All of the CNC files and 3D printer files. You can make your own thing. Right, and if you get one, you can certainly customize it.
No. I just thought of customizing yours.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That's an intended feature of the project. And that's one of the joys of open source hardware. You can go and make it available to people, and they can really make it their own. One thing I like to do, I really love to do an electronic enclosure. So I think it's the thing I love to do most in the world. It's just nobody's hiring me to do that. And so I was involved in this convention called the Hackaday Supercon. They also put on an event called Hackaday Europe, and they used to have it in Berlin, but now this year it's in Italy.
Yeah.
And so they make an electronic badge every year. It's just a circuit board. And so every year I would design an enclosure for it that people could 3D print for themselves. And then when I show up at the show, I would go and find all the people who 3D printed my enclosure and take a selfie with them. It's like, look, see the enclosure, and see what they did to it. Most people just printed them in different colors. They didn't really have much time to modify them. But my hope was that people were going to go and make lots of modifications to the 3D printer files and customize them for themselves. And with Stylish, now you can do that as well.
This is all very, very impressive.
Thank you so much.
You have, in the old days, like a few years ago, I would have asked you if you have your Palm Pilot with you or if you have like an older flip phone on the side as well, but you have it open. You seem intent on using it, or is it just your pocket watch?
Well, that is actually Rhythm Core Alpha running on the Nintendo 3DS. I told you before the Belt Synth, I did another product, and that was actually my commercial product with my company Soft Egg, and it was a music creation system. It's sort of like a DAW except without the recording part. So it basically had MIDI using instruments which were using the internal sound generator on the Nintendo DSi. Which gave you 16 channels of PCM audio, and then I did a whole bunch of stuff to kind of let you add envelopes to that so you could adjust the sounds. You didn't have filters, unfortunately, but you could do otherwise. It was so it's sort of like a Rompler, but I tried to give you very synthetic sounds to use for your Rompler. And because it's a touch screen, I made it so you can draw in the drum beats and draw in the bass lines and everything on the fly while you're using it. So you think I'm playing live. You can get there on the stage with nothing programmed in, and you can do a live show with just your Nintendo. And it has a solo mode. You can actually play live audio on the screen. Turns out kids don't actually play solos anymore. But at the time, I thought it was a really good feature. So I thought, I am giving people. And also, the other thing is you can actually change the key of and scale of the background. It actually is musically aware. So it's not just like transposing, but it'll actually like, you know, oh, then you're changing to a major, to a minor, no problem. And so you can make your thing and draw in one chord, and then you can go and just change the key with the buttons. Wow. So it's sort of like when you're fingering a guitar, you know, you're strumming with one hand, and you finger. So you can, it's really designed as a live instrument. It does stuff which nothing else can do on a Nintendo, which you could buy for a couple hundred bucks. And this thing was for sale for $10 or 10 euros here, and it did not do well. A lot of people bought the Korg program from Detune called the MS-10.
The DS-10.
Yeah, DS-10. Yeah. But not a lot of people bought my program.
I'm going to... we're only getting this in Germany now with the Figuya stores and stuff. With the Gunpla is not very popular. Like the consoles, the used consoles, I'm seeing them pop up in the second-hand shops again. And I'm looking for this kind of software thing.
Could you give us a little impression?
Yes.
You want me to plug it in?
That would be
would you?
Awesome.
Do you have something?
Yeah, I've been shutting you down. You can change.
Okay. Okay. So just to tell you, you can't buy it anymore because Nintendo shut the store down in 2023. So I have to ask people. It's like, well, you know, if you pirate the thing, maybe you can slide me a little money as amnesty for, you know, pirating it. But I would really like it if people actually got the software.
The software, GitHub or another website.
So. You have to find it. You have to pirate it. You have to actually, because I can't make it available. I've signed NDAs with Nintendo.
So donations with SoftEgg GitHub.
Yeah. So there's should be a link on the Rhythm Core Alpha page for making donations with PayPal. Although these days I really like it if people actually, you know, send me an email and send it to my German bank account, because getting money out of PayPal now is really difficult for me. So the software here, as I said, I can just go and make sure this is up. And let's see, am I turned up now? Am I in the audio?
Yeah.
Might be a little lower than the other one.
Okay.
I can kind of hear it a little bit.
Turn you up a little bit.
Okay, because there should be a bass drum going now. Can you hear it?
No.
Yeah, like I said, this one's a lot lower than the belt synth, unfortunately. I can hear the faintest hint of it there.
No, I guess it's the bass drum from the background. No, sorry, I can't barely hear it.
Ah, the hi-hats are from you. It's through the speaker. Is it?
It should be coming out now. Sorry for all the people at home listening to the radio.
Yeah.
We're trying to debug this thing. We didn't test this one in advance, so.
But that's it about experimental. But I hear the hi-hat.
Yeah. Well, there should be. I basically have the bass drum and the snare and the hi-hat in there now. I can, change the bass drum to a louder one. Change the snare to a louder one. Change the hi-hat to the other one here and. Add a little echo to it.
That's dead and groovy.
Yeah, it's a shame we can't get that louder. But basically you can just tap on the screen to put in your notes for your bass, your drums, and then you can scroll the screen down. And you've got your bass line down here, so you can make this louder. And I'll copy that to another track. So, can you hear any of this?
It sounds like it's coming from another tent, but we're listening. Yeah.
Okay, well, I apologize that the thing is such a low level. Yeah,
it's probably our fault, but it's fine. The fact that there is a third music software for Nintendo DS console stuff that I never got to lay my hands on. It's kind of freaky to me. But maybe it only came out in Japan, or what was the thing?
No, actually, I was not allowed to ship in Japan. It came out in the US and it came out in Europe. And so it's basically available every place in the world except for Asia. Like I said, I spent 15 years trying to sell this product. Wow. I was, had it on YouTube, had it all over the place, and nobody cared. So what happened was I went out and I tried to promote my product, and I was involved in a chiptune scene in Los Angeles with people making a lot of music with the Game Boy using LSDJ usually.
Mm.
And so I was like, I will make a new software and it'll be really great, and it'll use the newer Nintendos, and people will say, wow, that's really great. And they'll all switch over to my software and I'll be very popular. And so I went there and I said, hey, look, I've got this software. I gave some people some demo cartridges. And maybe like one person did something and nobody used it in their shows. And I was like, very sad. So I was like, okay, well, maybe they just don't get it. I'll get up there and I'll like do, some shows and kind of show them like how it is, and everybody will want to do it. So I got up there and did some shows. And I had sort of long since retired from doing performing. So it was a little rusty, but eventually I got better at doing it, but still didn't really get any traction. What happened was it was such a novelty to play shows with the Nintendo that I ended up playing 15 years of shows and getting very good at doing shows. I didn't sell a lot of Rhythm Core Alpha. I sold some. The couple of years I broke even, but most of the years I lost money. At the end, it was making about $100 a month, which was not a lot, but it was something. But now I'm not making that at all because the store is shut down. So now I just have, I've got a whole stage show based on Rhythm Core Alpha. So now I'm here in Berlin. I'm just doing shows with this software. And like I said, I've gotten to be very good at doing shows. So please come see my shows.
Yeah.
This is the most heartbreaking and chiptune story I've ever heard in my life. And I mean, it's not like people who are doing trackers and chiptune stuff are amazingly successful in life. wow. Very touching to hear that.
I had some friends in Los Angeles who were doing fairly well with it. Some people actually, we're getting some recording deals and stuff like that. But not a lot. I mean, it's a chiptune, but still, I was not even getting a lot of clout with those people. So I was sort of there. So what I would do is I would trade people. I had a lot of gear. So I was like, okay, you want to put on a show? Hey, look, I've got an amplifier, I've got a stage, I've got lights, I've got cameras, I will video the show, right? I supplied all this stuff and it was still hard to get booked for the show. And I was like, all you have to do is just let me play a set in the show and I will give you all this stuff to make your show. And be like, oh, okay, we'll let Tina play. Yeah, so, but as I said, eventually I got better. Eventually I was getting booked without the chiptune scene. I was just getting booked in regular bars and clubs. And since I would play anywhere at any time, I played a lot of empty rooms, but I would take the gig. And so I got every show. Eventually, I did a lot of shows at Arcade Expo, which is this retro gaming expo where people actually understood that stuff I was making was actually music. It was great.
Have you played at Pandora?
I have not played at Pandora. I do not know Pandora. So if you've got a hookup for Pandora, please let me know. I'd love to play anywhere, pretty much.
It's my friend Robin Berg. He is organizing concerts there at Pandora Art Gallery, and maybe you could fit in the art sector.
Wonderful.
I could imagine.
Wonderful. That would be lovely. Yeah, my show is a little different than a lot of the synthesizer shows you might see here at Superbooth, because I'm not really like a modular artist or something like that. I actually am, a child of the 80s. I'm a time traveler from there. I walked. My stuff has sounds a little bit like 80s music, a little bit like, kind of indie rock music. So it's kind of a punk show with Nintendo synthesizer music. And so I get up there and I emote, I sing. So it's quite an emotional show when I play.
Sounds amazing.
Thank you. Well, I've got these lovely flyers here. I can give you a flyer later. You can check out my music online. I am on Bandcamp and every place else you can find music, but not on Spotify because Spotify doesn't pay us.
What's the name of your Bandcamp if we add it?
So I'm on Bandcamp as Tina Belmont. You can find everything from my website, tinabelmont.com.
All right.
And you find everything on softact.com too?
Yeah, that should link to all my other sites as well.
So, come on and call.
Wonderful.
Thank you for being here, Tina.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really glad to have finally connected with you after all the missed messages. And yeah, I hope everybody's having a wonderful time at Superbooth, and I hope to see you all here next year. Hopefully I'll still be allowed to be in the country. Cheers.
Ciao. Cheers.
Please play a few more times before you leave.